regular city council meeting for this resolution, but this is a truth in taxation public hearing, and it's resolution number 22-46. Draper City Council acts as the governing authority of the Traverse Ridge Special Service District, or the TRSSD. The Administrative Control Board of the TRSSD desires to establish a certified tax rate of 0.000708 for the 2022 taxable year. So we'll have a staff report. It says Mr. Dobbins, you're going to lead us off, or Mr. Acumen?
I'll just turn it over to Daryl Acumen.
All right, we'll turn the time over to Daryl Acumen for a presentation on this resolution 2246. After Mr. Acumen is done, we'll hold the public hearing on it. Daryl, go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your time. So just a little bit of background. The TRSSD comprises an area that includes Suncrest at the top of Travers Mountain over there to our south. When the original development was proposed, the city of Draper objected because they felt that it was foolish to build houses on top of Travers Mountain at 6,000 plus feet. Their concerns included differential snow removal costs, and the citizens of regular Draper were not interested in subsidizing folks who wanted to live up there and deal with 7-foot drifts. So the developer, as a condition of being allowed to move forward with the development, agreed to establish a special service district that would assess, put in a special assessment to cover the incremental cost of snow removal and road maintenance, and also lights that go along with living at that altitude. Originally, the assessment was set so that we could accumulate several million dollars. I think it was probably estimated $3 million to reconstruct Deerage Drive, which is in the community. We got up to $2.5 million in fees amassed for that reconstruction, and a certain community group, the Travis Ridge Special Services Coalition, objected, ran a referendum to basically annihilate or change the assessment. The referendum passed. I didn't vote for it, but it passed. And the city council set up a Travis Ridge Special Services District board, governing board, to reset the assessment, sort of manage affairs. The first board came along and decided to slash the assessment by around 75%. Now, let's be clear. If the original board had slashed the assessment by 50%, we wouldn't be here today. But it was the logic of the original board, the belief of the original board, that holding on to a couple of million dollars in tax dollars for the purpose of reconstructing Deerage Drive was just a bad thing. The idea was to put the TRSSD into a state of fiscal imbalance to the tune of a couple hundred thousand dollars a year for several years until the accumulated funds were depleted and some future dumb sucker would have to come along and double the assessment and make us fiscally sustainable again. I'm obviously a little bit annoyed about that because I'm the sucker, and here I am asking to double the assessment. This is the historical rate from 2008. You can see the assessment is a fixed dollar amount, so it is actually, the percentages here are relative to tax, to home values. This is sort of the financial crisis, and then there was a year where we took in nothing, and that's the assessment as it went through fiscal 2020. This red line represents the rate that we are moving to now. So we are doubling the assessment back up to about half of what the assessment would ordinarily be. Now, the number one rule of home finance is don't spend more money than you make. For the last 7 years, we've been spending more money than we make. And this proposal is designed to fix that. Here you can see a financial analysis. Okay, so let's back up just a little bit. So we're going along just fine. About 4 years ago, Cal Roberts, who sits on the board on the city council now, who was the treasurer of the board, put together an analysis of the cash flows and said, we've got a problem, something is wrong. He took that concern to the then chairman of the TRSSD board. He was ignored. the board had other priorities. It is what it is. 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago, Cal was elected to the city council, and I took his place on the board. If any of you have seen the movie Margin Call, it was kind of like that moment where the old guy gets in the elevator and he hands the thumb drive to the young guy and he says, be careful. That's exactly what happened. I looked at it and said, this is a problem. I tried to wrap my head around it and struggled. Last year, Mayor Walker appointed me to be the chairman of the TRSSD board, and at that time, I handed the task over to Drew Juson, who is a retired, not an accountant, but he has a graduate, a master's degree in accounting. Really wanted to help out. He raised his hand, and I said, okay, here's your first assignment. I want you to do a forensic P&L analysis, an accounting analysis of the TRSSD's finances, its balance sheet, everything, and I want you to tell me what you find. Cal Roberts said that there's an iceberg out there. I want you to, he looked in his binoculars and said, we're in trouble. I want you to look and see what you think. He came back to me and he said, Daryl, you don't need a pair of binoculars to see this iceberg. This is a chart from his analysis. So this is actually a portion of his analysis. You can see the cash flows here. You know, they're negative 225, negative 355, negative 335, negative 332. It's pretty bad. This is a chart that shows basically the whole picture in one slide. So this is our cash flows. This is our, we're hemorrhaging capital here. We're just burning money. This is our operating fund. You can see it just dips, and goes down to what looks like zero. That's not actually zero. That number is actually $51,000. That's that number right there. So in his analysis, he recommended that we, obviously, double the assessment so that the assessment is enough to cover the cost of the TRSSD. Right now, we don't even make enough money from the assessment. You can see up here in this row, in this first row, we don't even make enough money from the assessment to cover the cost of snow removal in the TRSSD, period. And that's our main job. That's a problem. I'd love to tell you that we caught this just in the nick of time. I'd love to tell you that we're good, we're going to avoid disaster. Unfortunately, that's not true. These numbers are not accurate. This number here that shows $51,000 at the tail end of fiscal 22 is not right. Actually, right now we've got about $55,000 in the bank. We have like 70 grand. We wrote a check for $15,000 to another attorney for another lawsuit. We got about $200,000 coming from the city of from Salt Lake County. That'll get us up to $255K. But the problem is we have accounts receivable to the amount of about $320,000 for last year's snow removal. So we don't have $51,000 in assets. We're insolvent today, right now. We are bankrupt. And the story's even worse than that, because last year, when I asked Drew to do a forensic analysis of our accounting, he actually found $143,000 worth of transfer discrepancies in our favor. And, of course, we showed that to the finance director here at Draper City, and they promptly wrote us a check for $143,000. So the fact that we are actually completely insolvent right now to the tune of about 50 grand is $143,000 more money than we would have had if I hadn't asked Drew Juston to do this analysis. And I think we all owe Drew Juston, frankly, a round of applause, a standing ovation, probably a beer. This is that. We did not catch this in the nick of time. The bottom line is we're a year too late. Prudence would have suggested that we address this 2 years ago. Common sense demanded that we address this a year ago, but we didn't because we were distracted. And I take full responsibility for that. I apologize to the city council, to the mayor, to my neighbors, to the residents and taxpayers of the TRSSD for the, frankly, fiscal mismanagement of the board over the last 7 years that got us into this mess. But we're going to fix it tonight. If you look at this chart, it shows where we are now It assumes that we double the assessment, it assumes that we collect more taxes, and it shows you where we'll be over the course of the next 10-ish years. This blue bar here is our capital accumulation fund. We had one asset. So a few years ago, the TRCC used to manage our own trucks, our own staff, we had the firehouse and everything. We sold all of those assets back to the city because it was just too expensive and too much trouble to maintain on our own. And the one asset that we held onto was Big Yellow. It's a big auger. It's like a big snow blower that sort of cuts the roads and makes them wider so you can drive through. We need to prepare for the eventuality of replacing Big Yellow, and at least, at the very minimum, repairs on Big Yellow. Now, Big Yellow is going to last a lot longer than any other auger of its type in service. We've talked to the manufacturer, and they were just shocked. The fact of the matter is we don't use it often, but when we do use it, we really use it. And we keep it garaged. Most municipalities don't keep these things garaged. So it's going to last for a really long time. So the amount of money that we need to accumulate for potential repairs and replacement is small. This number that you see down here in the gray is our capital accumulate, or is our operating fund. It's just kind of a margin that we dialed in to make sure that we always have money to operate, because there are fluctuations and snow removal costs and et cetera, and we want to be prepared for those. For example, last year we spent $390,000 for light repairs. We want to be prepared for those sorts of eventualities, lawsuits, anything that should come up. But even this is a rosier picture than reality. If you look back at this chart here, there are some assumptions over here on the right. The contingency is 10%, but you notice that we dialed in an inflation rate of 3%. That's because this analysis was done before the current run-up in inflation. How many of you think that inflation is going to stay under 3% for the next 10 years? I mean, none of us are that naive, I hope. But it is what it is. If you put 9.1% into fiscal 2022 in this model and then set the inflation rate to zero for the subsequent 9, 10 years out to 2031, then this operating fund is zero. If you go 9.1% in 2022 and 2023, then take it to 1%, then we're negative. So this is a rosier picture than reality. But this is, I think, our most conservative and best guess to get us back on track. There are other things that we need to take into account. There are some things that we need to do, you know, that are the right thing to do. There are communities up there that are paying the TRSSD's tax assessment but aren't getting snow removal. We have a problem with that as residents. These are our neighbors. I know these aren't public roads, you know, but I mean, there's the Mahanis, for example, Tim and Lana Mahani, those poor people, they're living on a private road. They pay the assessment, but they don't get snow removal. I would love to fix that. Little Hollow, we have a lawsuit right now because they're paying the TRSSD assessment, but they're not getting snow removal. I would love to fix that, but I can't do it. We don't have the money. This does not allow us to do any of those things. A year or so ago, we sat in this room and we negotiated a settlement with the city that would have had the city transfer an incremental $150,000 a year into the TRSSD for road maintenance over and above the established SLA that your city engineers have recommended for the entire city. That would have required us to contribute a little bit, and we can't afford to do that now. That's off the table. We shouldn't be here. We spent $331,000 on a lawsuit that did not help us. $70,000 after we reached a settlement with the city because our attorney sabotaged the settlement with an illegal clause. Is what it is water under the bridge. There have been a lot of mistakes over the last 7 years. I take full responsibility for all of those. But it's time for us as a board to be the adults in the room and to set this right. Any questions?
Thank you for your presentation. Do we have any specific questions for Mr. Acumen right now?
I've got some questions. Can you go to the first slide, Beryl?
Yeah.
And I appreciate you, Andrew's work on this and the whole TRSSD board. So first question, is the board is supportive of this tax increase?
Yes, yes. We voted on this and we were unanimous.
Okay. And I just want to make sure I understand all components here, especially for some folks in the audience. if we could just go by a few of these line items.
Yes.
So you've got the total tax revenue. Right. That's the incremental tax that members of the TRSSD or homes of the TRSSD pay.
That's correct.
And then the Draper contribution, this is, I don't know, there's some controversy around this, but this is the number that the city provides base level services for snow plow removal and for road maintenance.
Not road maintenance anymore. I think you folks have taken that back from us because we mismanaged it so badly. But
historically,
that's exactly right. Yeah, historically that includes road maintenance. And so what that's doing is, and we'll speak specifically to the snow removal, if we were at 4,000 feet, like what we lovingly call Lower Draper, sorry, Marcia, that is the cost that the city would incur for snow removal. So there's a calculation that's done by the city's audit firm and our audit firm as well, and it calculates and says, okay, if you guys were down here, we're about 10% of the city, but if your lane miles were at, you know, valley level, this is what it would cost. And the city transfers that amount to us every year.
Got it. So this incremental tax revenue is supposed to cover the cost over and above the baseline snow plow removal.
That's right.
And then interest, this is interest income on the cash balance, I assume, and it goes up so high because there was a large cash balance in fiscal 2018 and 2019?
That's right.
Got it. And then the next question, so you have snow removal costs. You can see the snow removal costs exceed the total tax revenue plus the Draper contribution, which is where we're at, as you said.
That's right.
But with the repairs, help me understand some of those. Street lights, why is the TRSSD paying additional costs for the street lights?
In the original agreement with the developer, it was determined that the Travis Ridge Special Services District would pay an incremental cost of snow removal, road maintenance, and street lights. So that's legally why. But in practical terms, the residents of Suncrest in particular don't like the street lights that the city uses in the valley. They're gray, they're ugly, and you know, we're very stylish people up there, and we want rustic lights with wood accents and a nice little Suncrest logo on the top, and that's more expensive. The city's not willing to pay the cost, the incremental cost of having really stylish rustic lights, and so we pay that. And that's actually, there's a big line item over here in fiscal 22 that you can see, $390,000, that's what that is.
Got it, okay.
So I actually have a question about that too. That seems like a lot of money for a situation that continues to be not completely fixed.
Yeah.
Has there been any further discussion about going to city lights and having the city fix the lights as they go out?
So we have had discussions about going with city lights. I don't think that's palatable because our residents just don't like those. We have talked to the city manager about having the city do maintenance on our lights, and I think that that's probably more palatable. Those discussions have sort of stalled while we're handling this fiscal situation.
They're just so extremely expensive, and they might not get any less expensive.
Likely they will not get less expensive. The lights that we just purchased for the $390,000 are actually really, really good lights that last a long time. They have new materials, they have LEDs. We in the model here, in the capital accumulation fund, we've actually taken into account the life span of those lights. So this is big yellow and lights. But yeah, it is expensive, and that's a discussion that we will have after we fix this fiscal situation.
Because I like the lights. I think they're quite lovely.
I really enjoy them.
I am just concerned that they still don't seem to work.
More concerned that when those lights go out, there is a huge debate and there's lots of discussion and back and forth and hooing and hawing and bellyaching and wah, wah, wah about getting the lights fixed. And from my perspective, and this is what drives me in all of this, right? From the snow removal, from the, fixing Deer Ridge Drive, the lights, it's all about safety.
Right.
And from my perspective, you know, we had a situation a few weeks ago where a light went out and there was a big debate on, you know, hey, should we do it? Should the contractor do it? Is it more expensive? Blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I want the light fixed because if some kid gets hit running across the street in the dark because there's no light up there, that's on me.
we really want your lights fixed too.
Yeah.
Especially the ones at the major intersections.
Yeah. So there's, so we need to have a working group, and it's past due. We should do that in the next couple of weeks with a couple of board members and the city engineers to talk about what's the SLA, whose responsibility is what. You know, does the city do below the ground? Does the contractor do above the ground? What happens? What's the turnaround? What's the service level agreement? We need to nail all that. But it's, frankly, Councilman Lowry, it's been on the back burner until we can get this fixed.
If you go to fiscal year 2022, you've got this $390,000 streetlight replacement initiative. Is that retro? What is that? Is that retrofitting all the lights?
It's replacing a lot of lights. Those lights originally were kind of this really nice wood, and you know, nice wood doesn't like salt and rain and snow. So
I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you didn't spend that, you would have $500,000 of cash on the balance sheet, no?
If we didn't spend that, we would have about $250,000, yeah, on the balance sheet. And yeah, you're 100% right. That was probably not the best.
No, and I'm not here to talk about whether or not your streetlight. I mean, I live in Suncrest, I'm a Suncrest resident. I like the streetlights. I'm just trying to understand. So
yeah, if
the 390 is going to be used for just like a whole Drew's help wants to help you, but a wholesale replacement of the lights.
So the 390, the well said and done, is more like 500. And it is, includes the cost.
If you want to comment, come on up to the dais, which would get on the record. Thank you.
Sure. So to clarify a little bit.
Give us your name if you would, please.
Drew Joston.
Okay, go ahead, Drew.
So the $390,000 escalated by the time this project was done to closer to $500,000. And for that money, we have acquired 120 streetlight posts and replacement lights, fixtures for all the lights in the district, and they've been systematically replaced. I think we have an inventory of about 20 poles at this point that are available for future replacements. The manufacturer has warranted these poles for 20 years. It's a long warranty period. And the LED fixtures should have a long life expectancy as well. So I think we've bit the bullet. The lights have been replaced, all but a couple at this point, and they're wrapping that up. And I think that our costs going forward, in light of that, should be less for lights and less. You know, the repair number here, if you take it, it's really a five-year average. But the reality is, at this stage, lights are behind us. The major street repair work that we've spent in prior years is gone. You've taken that over for us, and we now just have incidental pothole repair. So I think that number, in time, will be considerably less.
So the 390 has already been spent.
It's spent.
Okay.
Right. There's no turning back on that.
Got it. And that was just an initial capital outlay to replace all the lights and build inventory for the lights. And going forward, your light cost should be much lower.
Right.
But it's not 390, it's actually 500.
These are actually 500.
So these numbers are not.
Yeah, this at the time I prepared that, I didn't have the numbers. This was my best guess on conversations. But now we've got all the bills in, and it's closer to 500.
Thank you.
Which is why that number is minus 50 instead of 50.
Maybe more than minus 50.
Any other questions for either one of these gentlemen?
I just have a question, and if I can just clarify, if this 390 is estimate and it's already been spent, then what is the actual cash balance that's left? Because obviously this cash balance would not be accurate if that 390 is just an estimate.
Our cash balance...
And not the actual amount.
Right. So our taking into consideration the actual cost of this, taking into consideration I finally got updated information on how much Salt Lake County has been withholding from us because the district had failed to file reports. We basically, in a situation, we have about $300,000 of cash and quick receivables and about $300,000 in liability. That's how we stand today. So we're at effectively at zero.
Okay.
Anything else, Fred?
No, thank you.
Anyone else? All right, thank you. And we may ask more questions after public hearings. All right, this is a public hearing. Again, it's ordinance, or it's not an ordinance, pardon me, it's resolution number 2246 regarding the Traverse Ridge Special Service District. I have some cards. Looks like I have Ryan McClellan. Ryan, come on up, if you would. Give us your name and address, and then your time will start. Everyone gets 3 minutes. You don't have to use them all, but you can if you want.
Ryan McClellan, I live at 2153 Eagle Crest Drive in Suncrest, and I have lived up in Suncrest for 22 years. That's a long time. I'm grateful for the history that you provided about the TRSSD and why it exists. And while I disagree with it to some degree, I understand why it makes sense at the time that Suncrest was built and why we entered into that contract with that developer. It makes sense that if you live in Suncrest and you're generally the only people that are using those roads, that you should pay a special service for the extra fees incurred by the city to keep those clean. You know, that changed a little bit as we opened the backside to Suncrest Drive. We saw much more traffic coming over the hill and many other people benefiting from that snow removal. Fast forward to today, and things have completely changed. Draper City owns that property. There is no contract because there's no developer. If you're in a contract, you're in a contract with yourself. But Draper has also invested a ton of money, and we appreciate that. We appreciate the fact that we have some wonderful parks up there that we can enjoy. We also appreciate that we have some of the best biking trails probably in the country. What I see up there is that there's an enormous amount of people that use those trails, and not just Suncrest residents, not just Draper residents, though I know that a lot of Draper residents use and benefit again from that snow removal, from those roads and from those street lights. Again, I'm grateful for that. My big question today is not so much about this, which what's the appropriate amount of taxation for Suncrest. My question is it even appropriate anymore to charge a special service tax to Suncrest residents? When you talk about subsidizing, I almost feel like I'm subsidizing the rest of the city now, because everybody's enjoying Suncrest, and I'm glad. I wouldn't change it. But we're paying for the incremental increase in snow removal, and everybody in Draper benefits from that. In fact, people in Riverton, people in Lehigh, everybody that chooses to access that enormous trail system up there benefits from that being clear. But we pay the fees for that. So I'd ask again, let's not talk about what the right amount of money to increase for Suncrest residents. I've paid it for 22 years. Let's ask ourselves, is it even appropriate to continue? You have the ability to say, to squash the whole TRSSD and say, we're not going to charge our residents who live 2 miles beyond the last hill or the last house in the valley differently because they live in Suncrest. We all benefit from that community. It's beautiful, and I'm glad I live there, and I'll probably live there the rest of my life. Thank you.
Thank you. Gal Morghini? Morghani? Did I say that right? Sorry. Reed Gibby.
You know my name. My address is 2018 East Old Summit Drive. And we lived there just about 8 weeks, 6 weeks more than 7 years. And we love it. When we got the, oh, by the way, I appreciate your service. Most of you know me for a few years. But what I want to emphasize is that when I open up the tax bill up and down, and the water district is going to go up about almost 8%. Central Utah Water Conservancy District, they're going up 25% of theirs. And then I got to the service district and 100%. And so I was convinced that there must be something wrong. So it took me a while to get a hold of the information that I needed. My objective was to prove that this was excessive. Well, finally, I wrapped things up for a late Monday night and concluded that actually this increase will only be will put us in the district in a marginal state. Because the contingency, I believe, would be about 30, almost 40,000. And based upon the uncertainty of things and the 3% inflation rate, which is extremely low, there is a substantial probability that expenditures are going to exceed their revenue. And so I did not fulfill my objective. And so I have no problem with the tax doubling. And also I suspect that a year from now there'll be another increase. Particularly if the drought ends this winter, we can be in a lot of trouble. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Come on up, give us your name and address.
My name is Lisa Holcomb. Address is 1884 East Vista Ridge Court, Draper. Of course, resident Suncrest. 21 years this November, and certainly appreciate your service, you know, here and the snow removal. I cannot complain. Sometimes, you know, I like to be able to complain about some things, but that you guys have done, the city has done an excellent job on that, and certainly appreciate. But, you know, I am on the same token, we have evolved as a community, as a city, as a community. There was a time, as you know, was mentioned, that it was very, I don't want to say exclusive, but most people didn't want to go up there. It was a trek, right? It was out of the way. And because we have been fortunate enough to be able to open our community, right? It is bringing revenue in. How many times do you think I stop at that Chevron and there's all the people that I saw come down that hill on their bikes and I follow them down? I know they're up the trails. You know, so it's been, people have come up there that I've talked to that have bought houses up there because they would never have had reason to come up there if it weren't for, you know, the advancements we made in our trails and our open spaces. So it's not just the residents. We need to get past, there's Draper City and there's the residents of Suncrest. We're a community as a whole. Those trails, that community up there is bringing in revenue, tax dollars to the city. And I think it's time, as it was mentioned in the beginning, to look at, is that kind of an archaic thing? Is it time to get rid of that idea of a special service district? And that we live in a community and we're sharing this with everybody, and the burden is not on us, the residents that live up at Suncrest, to carry that burden. There's been a lot of numbers here. Does this scare me? Yeah, because we want snow removal, right? I mean, we have to do something, no doubt about it. But I don't think this is the answer. We're not solving the root issue. Let's look at what we can do to make this an overall solution that will go to our children, our grandchildren, and down the road really solve the problem. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak to the council? All right, seeing no further public comment, we'll close the public hearing and bring this back to the council.
I just got a couple other questions. I got staff, if that's okay. There should be hopefully not too much. Do you know if the TRCSD has ever looked at contracting with private snowplow removals, and if that was more cost effective than the existing arrangement?
They told us they did look at it at one point to see if there were, if that was an option. They, from what I was told, they couldn't find anyone who was able to do it or commit to doing it at the expectation that the residents had.
Yeah, ask Cottonwood Heights how that worked out for them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if I could share my thoughts. So I agree with the sentiment that back in 1999, setting up this special service district was bad policy, and I think it's led to some challenging issues. One of the big reasons why I ran for the city council was to try to find solutions to some of these problems, to create one Draper, as you mentioned in your comments, because there was certainly a divide. I think our council has done a darn good job working to find solutions to some of these problems. It's not perfect. But for example, the city, we've now taken over the full road maintenance cost. You know, before we were putting that toward the TRSSD, and now the district's included in the regular way maintenance cycle as Lower Draper. We've obviously spent a few million dollars to fix Deer Ridge Drive at the cost of the Draper taxpayer, and you know, that was a fight that should have been done, and I'm glad we could do it. So I guess my position is, I hear you. I understand I'm up in Swincrest as well. It's a tough issue, it's a tricky issue. There's a lot of Lower Draperites who would have a different view and say, well, we don't want to be subsidizing, you know, the really expensive snowplow costs up there, right? And so it's a challenge when you're a city council member to try to advocate for the entire city. But I think we've made some improvements. I think our board has done a fantastic job with Daryl. Dave's been on there a long time. Drew has been amazing, and we've had lots of service from people in the past. So I think the presentation was fantastic. It made sense to me. I think we're going to have to continue to try to make improvements, but you know, I think we're in the right direction.
Yeah, I would just echo what you're saying, Calvin. I think we've come so far, so far as a community and coming together as one whole. And these are things that we don't take lightly. You know, we are very conscientious in how we deal with these issues because we know they're personal and we know they're emotional. I think that when we took over the roads and we fixed Deer Ridge Drive and we've done all of this water repair work, that was us really trying to come to you and say, look, we are partners in this with you. But the snow piece is something a little bit different, and we are not quite on the same page on that one yet. You know, we never want to add additional burdens to the residents, and particularly those on this fixed income. You know, we really do feel for them when we discuss these issues. But sometimes we just do find ourselves in these untenable positions where safety has to come first. And at this point, with the state of the budget, we need to make a decision really soon. That doesn't mean that we can't keep looking at other options and talking about these things, but this is already, as we heard tonight, a year too late.
I share in many of the same sentiments, but I think there is a geographic difference in what is happening up there, and that geographic difference due to the elevation and the full-time living of folks requires a little bit different level of service up there. I think the base level service that you would receive in Suncrest without this would be unacceptable, and we would be pressed in a different direction in Irving or another direction. So I think the snow removal is a very fair position to take. I think we've taken it on the road, we've taken it building parks up there, and have invested a significant amount of resources. So I think this is a fair position, it's a fair proposition. I'm not thrilled ever in any way, shape, or form to raise taxes. I think that's something I've made it very clear that I think we have to learn to live within our means. But at the same time, in the same token, I think this is a band-aid, and we're going to have to figure out how to really deal with the overall solutions and problems. But that's how I feel.
So I'd like to publicly credit my fellow council members, Mr. Acumen, your board, for bringing us to this point, for the hard work you've done, and I want you to know I appreciate you.
Fred, do you have any dad?
I do. I'd just like to add here too, I appreciate the efforts of the board, and this presentation has been very well explained. Wayne, I would just like to note here, I don't think any of us relish in the opportunity of raising taxes. But I'd also like to clarify that really we aren't raising a tax. I can appreciate Mr. Gibby when he's seen a statement that my TRSFD tax is going up 100%. We're really not raising the tax. We're just straightening and putting this rate back at where it was supposed to be and where it was supposed to remain. We're putting that rate back to keep the TRSFD from running into the red. So really, we're not raising the tax. We're just correcting it and putting it back in the rate where it was before. And so that is something I think is important that is clarified here. And I do appreciate all of the efforts of those that have worked on the TRSFD board. And we have worked really hard as a council, like what Cal said, that all a Draper is Draper. That there are certain areas that need more service, and it's important that we, at this time, keep this district running. And I do agree that it's something that we all need to continue to address.
All right, thank you. The only thing I'd like to add, again, thanks for all of your hard work, and I know these are tough issues. The whole issue is complex, and there's arguments on every side of it. But I do want to point out for everyone that's here and maybe listening at home, we have not raised your city tax in one long time, and it's been 15 years since there's been an increase in Draper City's portion of your property tax. That doesn't happen by accident. I think we're going to be the only city in this Wasatch Front right now that isn't raising taxes to cover public safety. Now, I'm not saying we won't in the future, but I think it's worth knowing that we've been able to cover substantial public safety increases because we have great economic drivers in our community. And again, that doesn't happen by accident. So it's credit to the council members and prior council members, our staff, as we, you know, people say, why do you have so much business or so much traffic? Part of the reason we do is because if we don't, we'll be raising your taxes to cover the basic services. So, you know, the businesses that are here, they're carrying the load. And we have more business coming, and we have a future prison site development that's going to put us in a very good spot going forward. So it's a great place to live, a great place to be. This is never fun to raise a little bit of it, but your city portion hasn't gone up, and the service level hasn't dropped either. So, I mean, I think that's worth noting. We're in a really good position financially. And again, it doesn't happen by accident, and it's a lot of good work, a lot of great staff. We have amazing financial people, and we do a good job here with the money we have. So, anyway, thank you for all your work, and I think it's amazing. If there's not further comments or questions, is there a motion?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Roberts?
I'll make a motion that we approve Resolution 22-46.
I have a motion by Mr. Roberts to approve Resolution 2246. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Lowry. Any further discussion? I'm seeing you, Mr. Roberts, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Lowry?
Yes.
Ms. Fodry?
Yes.
Mr.